do something, that is to try to bring the Bhagavatam alive for us by doing a Bhagavat Katha as it is done. You will see what it is, and I think it will be very insightful. There is a chance so that the world is going to start.
Thank you.
Known as soft tradition. Hard tradition is something where there is an institution which organizes the perpetuation or continuation of a particular teaching. See, the church, it has a very powerful institution, and many churches, many priests, many rules, you know, of conversion and excommunication, etc. And in this way, it has tried to bring the spirit of Jesus, God, God's teachings in the Bible into modernity. It has often failed, as we know. But there is something like a soft tradition where there is no organization of the perpetuation of a teaching. And in the past, Krishna consciousness was perpetuated or was continued by this way. What is a part of a soft tradition or soft teaching? Well, the instruction between guru and disciple, or singing bhajans, in which the teachings are encapsulated in devotional music, or coming to festivals and discussing subject matters, or going and having festivals, and most important, by the Bhagavad Katha. In the old times, you will find people sitting in villages in the evening together, and there was a speaker giving discussions on the Bhagavatam. And this is how faith came into the people, and they acted on this faith without an institutionalized guidance. You know, there was simply not in existence. That came into Krishna consciousness when we became a missionary movement, which went out to preach. But the tradition was continued by these soft practices which I have taught you. In Indian villages, you would find what is called a mandap. Mandap is it's simply a roof which shades the sun and protects you from small rain showers. And people would sit under this mandap and they would listen to the Bhagavatam. And they would become so inspired by this that they would act automatically out of this inspiration and be in Krishna consciousness. When I was in Orissa, believe it or not, I saw one evening I was going where I was staying, and I was going through a village, and I was just about to cross the railroad when I saw on the side of a railroad a man with a candle who read from a book. There were a few people around him. And I asked my friend, what is going on? Can you please tell me? And he said, oh, he reads the Orissan Bhagavatam. It is a simplified version of the Bhagavatam by one Jagannath or something. Jagannath Pandit, a very wonderful devotee of the Lord, who has, you know, presents the Bhagavatam, but not the heavy philosophy, because the simple people may not be able to follow everything, but it has the philosophy and it has the Leela. The Bhagavatam teaches in the form of pastimes, and I will teach you, I will tell you one pastime which for me is I like it very much. The meaning of Leela is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Samvadanam samposhanam lolyam dadati Leela. That which nourishes and protects us, and that which gives us intense desire to attain Krishna, that is called Leela. When you hear about Krishna's pastimes, it nourishes you and protects you from Maya, and it gives you the intense desire to attain Krishna. And I would like to now talk about one of these Leelas, which is, I think you will faint when you hear it. It's so good. Maybe not faint, but you will eat more prasadam afterwards. It is telling us several deep lessons, and one lesson is that anyone, no matter what is his social background, no matter from where he comes, no matter what he did before, anyone can become a dear devotee of Lord Krishna. Prabhupada spoke about this transformative experience of becoming a devotee. He said, if one somehow becomes a devotee of the Supreme Lord, whatever his position, he can be brought to the position of a perfect person. And then he quoted a verse from Shukadev Goswami, who says that even the East German people, I'm from West Germany, but East German people can become Krishna conscious if they meet a devotee, pure devotee of the Lord, who then gives this. It is a very famous verse. Kirata Bhunandra Pulinda Pulkasha Abhira Shumba Javanakashadaya Yenye Chapapa Yadapashrayashraya Shodhyanti Tasmai Prabha Vishnave Nama. Anyone can become a devotee of the Lord. The Kiratas, the Hunas, Mongol people. The Andras, the Pulindas, Pulkashas, Abhiras, Shumbas, Yavanas, and member of the Khasa races. This means everyone. And even others addicted to sinful acts. That's maybe the people from Switzerland. And even others addicted to sinful acts can be purified. Listen, it's possible that they are purified. By what? By taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. For Krishna, for He, Krishna, is the supreme power. You know, the Lord has invested in His pure devotees, His Shakti, to deliver fallen souls. So, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him, Krishna. So, everyone has a chance. And my dear devotees, as you will now listen to this amazing kanta of Vritasura, I think you will be inspired, you will be empowered to increase your bhakti. This world is a world of conflict. It is said that in the previous times, in the old times, the conflict was raging between the Suras and the Asuras, the divine beings and the ungodly. They were separated in different parts of the universe. But later, these two forces came on the planet Earth. In old times, the battlefield was the universal planes. In more recent times, the battles take place on the Earth. But in this age of Kali, the battles take place in one's own heart. Where there are our tendencies to selflessly exploit others for one's sense gratification. But at the same time, while this is going on, there are also divine tendencies, attraction to Krishna. One of my god brothers told me, every morning I wake up as an atheist. Yeah. Meaning that that other tendency, which was not guarded throughout the day, took the better of him in the night when it's dark and the forces of evil go around the planet. Then he also gets badly influenced. The Devatas had become very strong, but their leader Indra was obsessed by pride. So much pride was there in the heart of Indra that he neglected to welcome and respect his own guru Brihaspati. Brihaspati saw, if I don't correct my disciple, he will very quickly turn into an obnoxious being. So he left the assembly. Indra saw his mistake, ran after his guru, but the guru to teach him disappeared by his powers. From that day on, trouble was brewing. And one of the troubles I will tell you. A demon was created of tremendous size. His name was Vritasura. He was created in a sacrificial fire. And as he rose, like the smoke, he began to devour everything which was good within the universe. He was given the name Vrita, which means full circle, because everything fell under his control. At first, the Devatas had tried to resist Vritta. They had mobilized their armies and they came to him to a battlefield. But when Vritta saw them coming, he took up his full size, like these mountains and higher. The Devatas threw all their weapons at him, weapons strong enough to destroy America or Persia or whatever in one wipe. But Vritasura smiled and the weapons came at him. He opened his mouth. He did not get a cuff and swallowed all the weapons. The Devatas could only turn their backs to Vritta and run. And as they were running, they heard a most vile laughter in the back. Ha 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 ha. Never come again. Know your strength. It is nothing against the power of Vritta. Hare Krishna. The Devatas were distressed. Should the powers of evil overwhelm the whole universe, wouldn't that destroy the cosmic plan? That this is a place for resurrection, for reformation, for improvement. They were desperate, and in their desperation, they did what every single being does. They turned to the Lord of one and all, the Lord Narayan, and they prayed to him. Narayan, 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 they said, please help us. Narayan appeared before them and said, there is only one way to gain victory over Vritasura. You must manufacture a weapon which is stronger even than the weapon of Indra, a Vraja. Vraja means like a thunderbolt. And this weapon can only be made if you ask the great Saint Dadichi to give his bones. It's a magical weapon. It's a weapon infused with the power of the austerity of Dadichi. And what I will do is I will give my power and also put it in the Vraja. But Indra said, my lord, who will give up his own body? That is not possible. Lord Narayan answered, you, Dadichi, you, Indra, very sinful person who made an offense against Dadichi in the past, approach his two disciples, the Ashwini Kumaras. He is naturally very affectionate to his disciples. Take them with you and let then be there when you ask for his bones. The Devata said, but how can we fight Vritasura, who has such a huge, huge body? He swallowed all our weapons. Will he not swallow that weapon also? Narayan said, he will not kill you, this demon. He loves my devotees because actually he is also my devotee. He's only making such a big noise. I gave you the solution. Do not waste any time. With this, the Lord simply disappeared. The Devata thought, what? Narayan just said the demon is his devotee, and he will be agreeable. I mean, in what nowadays we would say in Switzerland, in what movie am I at the moment? This was an enigma, ein Rätsel. But they were used that Lord Narayan was not always very understandable. I mean, didn't he just swallow all the weapons? Is this what a devotee does? I didn't know. Indra went with the Devatas and the Ashwini Kumars in front to Dadichi's ashram. When Dadichi saw all these Devatas, I mean, Devatas are full of light, coming, he immediately knew what they would ask for. Have you ever seen Devatas coming in your direction? I saw once in Yamunotri. I was staying in an ashram. I couldn't sleep because it was very high up in the mountains. And I saw them coming on the path. They were full of light. They were and they came to the bend of the path. You know, when the path went like this. But they continued walking through the air, coming towards my ashram, the ashram where I was staying. Hare Krishna. I said, Utsu, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And then they simply disappeared. So Dadichi saw them coming, and he knew what they wanted. After greeting Dadichi with deep reverence, the Devatas came straight to the point. There's this demon Vritrasura. He's ruling the whole universe. He's made a circle of evil powers, and everyone falls under his control. We need to remove him. Yes, said Dadichi, why do you come to me? He was smiling inside. He wanted to hear from the Devatas something which the Bhagavatam wants all of us to hear. He said, the Devatas said, the Lord told us that you should give us your body. We will take the bones from your body and make a most powerful weapon. Now, my dear devotees, imagine the following scenario. There would be a great need to get Gaur Krishna's liver. He's already feeling, oops, my God, am I in the right class? Or why Gaur Krishna? If someone would come to you and said, we would need your kidneys or your lungs, or do you have a good stomach? I saw you eating a lot of breakfast. I think your stomach is very suitable for big quantities. We need your stomach now. How much resistance would you feel? But the Devatas, they are asking Dadichi for his entire body. Dadichi playfully refused the request. He wanted to hear, and like a person who is attached to the body, like us, he said smilingly, oh Devatas, don't you know that death is extremely painful? So painful that one faints? There's one shastra which describes the pain of death. It says, it's as if 1,000 highly poisonous scorpions bite you at the same time. You're on fire. And the Devata said, we know that death is not an easy matter. But it was Vishnu himself who asked us to request you for your body. hat die Chishok gesagt. The body is so dear to every living entity. It needs to be protected if one wants to live in this world. Even if Vishnu should come and ask for it, who could tolerate giving him the body? Other devatas thought about this. And then they gave one last argument. They said, my dear exalted brahmanas, it is known that highly elevated people like to give for the benefit of others. And they give everything, including their own lives. Then Nadishi became serious. He had a playful smile up till now. He said, it is true. Those who are compassionate and see the suffering of others, they are on a high level, they are ready to sacrifice for others. See, the low-class people, ordinary people, they are ready to sacrifice for their enjoyment. For their enjoyment, they work very hard in meaningless jobs and make money so that they can enjoy maybe holidays or a new surfing board, or a new mountain bike, or a car, and so on. But when it comes to others, there is a shranka, a barrier. But elevated people, they imagine, they like to, just like the materialist likes to work for himself, they like to work for the benefit of others. And then he says, if you don't give this life, this body, for the true benefit of all beings, at the end you will see that it is anyways taken away from you. The body will be eaten by jackals or by the fire of the cremation. So why not use this temporary body for the benefit of others, because then you will not feel misery when you die. It is a fact. A person who has given to others, who has used this life in the compassionate service of others, will not be troubled by any misery when he leaves this body. But a selfish person who was only interested in his own benefit, when he leaves the body and everything is taken away from him, he is very miserable. In this way, a Vaishnava is para dukkha dukkhi. He's always unhappy to see the conditioned souls in an unhappy state of materialism. I was talking this morning with a few devotees who noted that Srila Prabhupada would always insist that anyone who came to him would be fed with prasadam. And it is said, to eat is the enjoyment of human beings, but to give others to eat is the enjoyment of gods. My dear Grihastas, please consider giving others to eat. Then you are a godly Grihastha, a divine Grihastha. You may recognize, once a Grihastha, young Grihastha, came to Srila Prabhupada with a serious question. Now, where I'm married, what is my duty? And he thought in relationship to his wife. But Prabhupada said, now you should go before your door, whenever you have cooked something, you should call out, Everyone, listen, I have something nice here. Come and let us eat. The disciple thought maybe Prabhupada had not understood the question. It was more about practical dealings, you know. And Prabhupada said, now your duty is whenever you have cooked, go out and eat and invite others to eat. To eat yourself is the enjoyment of a human being. To make others eat is the enjoyment of the gods. My dear devotees, in our communities, the great risk of masked selfishness. We are dancing, we are eating prasadam, we are coming to a retreat, and the underlying thing is we want to do something for us, for our progress, for our advancement, for our moving on to the next state of life. But this idea will never make you happy. You have to include in your thinking, what can I do for the benefit of others? How can I use this body, which is given to me, a poor soul at the time of conception, how can I use this for eternal benefit? How can I do something in the spirit of compassion? Krishna makes this very clear. He says, the devotee is the most intelligent among all those who are intelligent. And he is most clever among the clever because he uses his temporary body in sacrifice to attain me, the only truth, although he is otherwise quite inconsequential. He uses what is anrita or false to attain what is satya or real. Now Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur puts a comment to this. He says, those who are born here in this world are mortal. They have deformed and afflicted bodies. You may think, well, but my body is not deformed. I go to the fitness. I'm quite beautiful, no? I mean, at least some people think. I like when Kadambakananda Maharaj said, if I would be all powerful, I would make a few repairs in my body. He was a little direct and very, very honest about it. We have bodies which are not worth even a penny. But the people in this world can attain me, the ocean of sweetness. By giving to me their life in service. They can get me, together with my priceless ornaments, my bracelets, and my crown. This is a lot, you know. For by using the body, you can't get a penny for it. You can use it and get the unlimited Lord. Such devotees of Bharat Bhumi are the most intelligent and the most skillful. In this way they attain me, who exist at all times, although they, the jivas, are called non-existence or unretainer because they lack a relationship with me. No? So you might now say, what does this please mean? To engage and sacrifice my body for Krishna. Would you like to know? What should I do? Should I do like the Adichi, or what? What is this expected? Giving one's body to the Lord means to engage the ear and other organs in hearing, chanting, remembering, and serving. I want to make a point here. When you sit down to listen to the Bhagavatam, you will hear new things. You will hear things which are totally away from your normal thinking. I could easily tell you today a fascinating horror story, and I know you would be totally amazed at horror, no one likes a romantic story. And you, romantic also no one, not all, everyone likes. Some interesting story. But this will not be useful for you. You must hear about the Lord's devotees. And this is a service. You must hear, chant, and remember this. This is service, devotional service. If the tongue is engaged in chanting, the ears are engaged in hearing, and if the hands are engaged in service, then one is giving one's body to the Lord. So you chant His names, you hear about Him, you use your hands to serve Him, then you give your body to the Lord. But the wonderful thing is that the Lord is attained by offering even one single part of the body, even your ears, if you only offer your ears. What intelligent person would not do this? Then Vishwanath ends. This verse is a touchstone amongst verses. It's the essence of all the Lord's teachings. He who has this verse shining in his heart shines in the assembly of devotees. Yeah, Jayagopal is asking, can you repeat the verse? Because we wouldn't like to hear the essence of a teaching. Should I do this or is it boring? Should do it. Okay. The devotee is the most intelligent. Here comes the verse. Krishna says to Uddhava. Uddhava, please know. The devotee is the most intelligent among the intelligent and the most clever among the clever, because by using his temporary body he attains me, the only truth, although he is an inconsequential jiva. He uses what is unretainer of temporary to attain what is satyam or eternally real. This is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness which the Bhagavatam wants us to know. It's an interesting perspective. Have you used today Advaita Singha, your temporary body, to get what is eternal? Ramananda, you are the best amongst the psychologists. Have you been clever today and used what is not worth a penny even, to get the crown of the Lord and the ornaments and the bracelets with the Lord? What, in other words, have you done for eternity today? Is it a good question? Is it an unimportant question? Is it important? This is what is intelligence. Someone who remains fixed on his little social position, which is here for a few years. Someone who is only thinking about his mind and his body and how to place us in this world is really not using his intelligence, because all of this will be lost. But someone who consciously uses the body and the mind to gain Krishna is highly intelligent. Let us hear what happened with Dadichi in a moment. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he makes a song on this point. It comes in the book called Bhajan Rahasya, The Secrets of Worship. He sings, "Would like to be able to compose a melody, but I am not so talented. You will all laugh, so I am." Your body is tormented in hundreds of ways. It will one day fall down dead. I will not try more. Then it will be turned to ashes. Your body to ashes. Or then you are buried the stool of worms. And everyone will see what it really is. It is therefore unwise to cultivate attachment for this body. O mind, hear my truthful words. There's only one medicine powerful enough to cure your material disease. Drink the nectar of Krishna's name and don't stop. There are many examples in our tradition. It is said that one should offer his life for the benefit of others. I think we all know the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who left his household alive and left aside his eternal consort Vishnu Priya. He went into the forest to deliver the fallen souls. Imagine the Lord was walking through the forest of South India. He didn't even sleep he didn't even sleep at the houses. Sometimes he would sleep in the forest where there were lions and tigers. He would just lean against a tree and he would fall asleep. Yesterday I talked to one devotee who said, I asked, will you come to Woodstock Festival and serve the many conditioned souls there? The devotee said, no. I once was at Woodstock Festival and, the devotee served prashadam till 2 o'clock in the morning to the many Polish people who come there. And I saw, when we were coming on the stage, Indradyumna Maharaj was so tired that he lay down on top of the shoes of the devotees who were leaving them before they climbed up the stage and fell asleep on the shoes. I remember Indradyumna Maharaj today, where I talk on this subject. He's really trying his best to offer his existence, his body, in the service of others. I remember once we did a kirtan on the Woodstock Festival, and there were many hippies, punks, young people, old people, and we were doing a Ratha Yatra, and some person took his beer can and in great happiness started to dance in circles, and the beer was coming on all of us, and watch, something came on the face of Indradyumna Maharaj, and he looked at me and smiled and said, Maharaj, it cannot get better than this. And I thought the beer was dripping down, and it did not come out of the ear so easily. And I was thinking of Vrindavan. Maharaj, when I think it can't get any better than this, I think of walking through Vrindavan. But he said, we are sacrificing our meaningless life in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where we give the benefit to the conditioned souls. I remember this very graphically, graphic example. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Prabhupada writes, they left their very comfortable lives as ministers and learned scholars. And they joined Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement just to show mercy to the fallen souls of the world. Or Srila Prabhupada, when he was 60 years old, he begged to be taken on board of a ship, Jaladuta, to come to the West and benefit us. So when Dadichi heard that I can be useful in destroying the demon who controls this universe, he resolved at the spot to give up his body. He became silent and he withdrew his senses. He didn't see any longer, he didn't hear any longer. He concentrated fully on the Supreme Lord. And then by separating himself from the material elements, he cut his material bonds and meditated on being Krishna's eternal servant. Was it painful, you ask, to give up such a body? No. When you are absorbed in the nectar of Krishna consciousness, you are in a way like a drunken man who doesn't even notice when his coat falls away from him because he's so drunk and it falls away, he doesn't notice. And Prabhupada writes on this point, giving up the body. He said, of course one must practice before one can overcome death. But the perfect yogi, namely the devotee, dies in trance, thinking of Krishna. I think Parikshit Maharaj must have felt, oh, it's so easy to change the body. It's almost like giving up an old skirt, a shirt, and saying, please hand me a new shirt. So this is the glory of a devotee. Once one of my godbrothers, I forgot whom, gave a class in the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan about how the yogis or perfect devotees easily separate themselves from the body. And it was and one devotee asked him at the end of the class, how does it exactly, how do you do this exactly? How do you separate yourself from the body and go on? And my godfather said, I'm not trained in this process, I don't really know. Then at the back of the audience, there was one sadhu. He was bare-chested, like they had big hair. And he said, that's very simple. Look at me. And he meditated like this. Then from the navel sprang a fire and burned his whole body, and it was a pile of ashes. The temple commander ordered someone to sweep the ashes and bring it to the Yamuna. Very simple. Imagine, go Krishna would do this. He has many abilities. You will be surprised. I have seen many things. So Dadichi, before the eyes of everyone, left his body. Then the Devadas thought, my God, we couldn't do this. We are too attached to the body. But they brought a Kamadenu cup. And the Kamadenu affectionately licked the body, and the muscles and the fat, everything disappeared. And then the Devatas took the bones, put it on a Vimana, and brought it to the upper planets where Vishvakarma, the architect of the Devatas, made a powerful weapon from it. This weapon is celebrated in the Gita. It says, of all the weapons, I am the Vajra. This Vajra, it's powerful because it came from the high soul Dadichi. It was equipped with the power of Vishnu and it was crafted by Vishvakarma. Previously, the Devatas had gone to the Lord with tears in their eyes. They had approached Him helplessly. They had prayed to Him, help us to give up, to overcome this threat of Vritasura. Now they had a weapon. Indra left the ashram in high spirits. He climbed the back of Airavata. He was surrounded by a huge army of demigods, and they were marching to the battlefield, at the banks of the Narmada, it's in the higher planets, sadhus were sprinkling Ganga water before them, and they were blessing the army of the Devatas, and Indra was sure of his victory. They looked over on the other side of them were the armies of the dark forces. They had assembled and they were mocking the Devatas, but the Devatas felt very sure of themselves. My dear devotees, there have been many battles, but no battle can compare with this one, which took place at the end of Satya Yuga and the beginning of Treta Yuga. It was 120,400,000 years that they have passed, but the lessons from this battlefield are so important, because as we soon see, something totally unexpected takes place. Vritasura, the leader of the demonic armies, the unconquerable, saw Indra coming at him, and he smiled. He smiled two smiles. A fierce smile, because he would soon show these foolish demigods who was stronger. And another smile, he smiled inside his heart, because he knew he would soon see Krishna. Let me ask you one question. What do you think is, can you tell me an outstanding quality of Lord Krishna in relationship to his devotees? It's very difficult when someone knows already the answer and is getting ready to reveal an answer, and then you want. No, you think you know something about Krishna. What are his qualities in relation to devotees?
He never forgets a service which we do.
I made a thing up.
He spoke about some.
He's the friend of his devotees. That's very outstanding. Yes. Yeah.
He fulfills their desires in such a way that they come near to him.
Wonderful. He fulfills their desires in such a way that they come near to him. This is a wonderful point. It is in Chaitanya Charitamrita that even when a devotee has material desires and wants from Krishna a material boon, like an improvement of his situation in this world, the Lord gives it, but he gives it in such a way that the devotee will not entangle himself, but will come to him. So therefore we should go with everything we have to Krishna. Advaita Singha is the second quality.
His desire to bring us back is bigger than our desire to go back.
His desire to bring us back is bigger than even our own desire to go back to him. Prabhupada said, most of us don't want to go back to Krishna. I think we read in the Bhagavad. Any other quality of Krishna? Yes, Andy?
He makes the
words of his pure devotees to be true. Wonderful. There's an amazing story about this from Varanasi. There was a young married lady whose husband had died. What they do in Varanasi is, when the person has died, when any person has died, they put him on his
stretcher, it's called, and a bare, and they carry him to the place of cremation while chanting Sri Rama Nama Satyaye. Only the name of Ram is eternal truth. Now, as they were bringing this relatively young man to the burning ghat, his wife was just crying and crying and crying, because, you know, it was, who would take care of her now? Her beloved husband has left. So Tulsi Das, a great devotee of the Lord, came from the other side and saw this lady crying so desperately that he just raised his hand in a gesture of blessing and said, may your life be auspicious, you know, bless them. Like we would say, all the best to you. We really wish you all the best. You look so much miserable. So then he continued. But then one man came to him and said, Tulsi, how can there be auspiciousness for this poor woman? She is now a widow. Do you realize? He said, but I gave this blessing. He went home. He went and sat before the deity of Lord Ram and said, my Lord, I gave a blessing, and you say the words of your devotees are true. You fulfill the words. Can you make a wonder? And then he took a little Charanamrita from the lotus feet of Lord Ram, went back to the procession and walked next to the stretcher and gave a little Charanamrita and then opened in the mouth of the dead person. The dead person went like up and looked around and said, I'm alright, I feel very energetic. Can I have something to eat, please? And everyone thought, wow, you were dead a moment ago. But then this man said, yes, but Tulsi, a great devotee, gave blessings, and the blessings all of a devotee are always backed or supported by the Lord himself, like you said. So he made the words of Tulsi Das came true, and the Lord Ram brought this dead man back to life. I also have a word of blessing. Srila Prabhupada. I'm too shy to say in the public, but the Lord will make it true. Even though I'm not very good, despite of me, I feel like this in my life. And I can see the blessings of a great soul. My dear devotees, try to get the blessings of a great soul. It will be very helpful in your spiritual advancement. Very helpful. Even other devotees, when we get the well wishes of devotees, then our life is perfect. It is said, it is nice if we can think of devotees, but if devotees think of us with prayers, with wanting all the best for us, then our life will progress like anything. Therefore, His Holiness Nilanjana Maharaj gave a lecture where he said, avoid criticizing devotees. You've heard. He said, avoid. We must avoid this. He has reminded us. Yeah, so very nice qualities. I had another quality in mind, which is here for the kata. I was reminded when this young boy, Nishinga Bhakta, spoke to us. He said, my Lord is a Lord who sometimes takes away things. The gopis are singing like this. They say, Nija Janas Smaya Dvangsa Sana Smita. It says, with a smile, You take away the false pride of your devotees. Krishna does this with a smile. Mm-hmm. The gopis cried, "Oh Krishna, you destroy the distress of your devotees." Then they said, "Oh Krishna, you crush the pride of those who are very dear to you." They indicated, you know, we have developed some pride and therefore you disappear from us. You do this with a smile because you want to crush our false pride. Now, this is will happen to Indra very soon. He said, "I have the divine weapon, I'm better." We Hare Krishna devotees also sometimes think we are better than the Kamis. I mean, we know, and our food is prasadam, and so on. But Krishna doesn't like this attitude at all. He always smashes the attitude with a smile out of his affection. There's a story which His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj tells us. He said, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna often called Arjuna his very dear devotee. He said, "Bhaktosimi, Priyosimi, Sakasimi." He said such things. "You are my dear friend. I'm giving you the most confidential instruction. And no, you will come to me at the end." So Arjuna heard all this. "I am the beloved of God. I am very dear to the Lord. I am very special." I mean, after all, he did not speak the Bhagavad Gita to my brothers. He spoke it to me. Let's be objective here. And so after the battle of Kurukshetra was won, Arjuna thought, and Krishna thought, "I must help this Arjuna now a little bit. He is in danger to become a little bit proud. Then he will not attain me. He will not be dear to me. He will not be my dear friend. All this is for those who are humble." So he said, "Arjuna, would you take me in your chariot to the Jamuna? Let's relax a little in the cool breezes." And they, Arjuna, he said, yes. They drove to the battle of to the Yamuna, and as they were driving on, they saw an interesting scene. On the road was a dead man lying, and around him was a jackal. Jackal is called Jambuka. And the jackal was sniffing the hands, the head, and sniffing the ears, sniffed at the feet, and went somewhere else, the legs. Arjuna stopped the chariot before the dead man in the jail and said, "Hey Jambuka, why don't you eat like a normal jail? This is your food." Krishna said, "Oh Jambuka," and he smiled, he smiles when he destroys the pride of his devotees. "Oh Jambuka, dead human beings are the natural food of a jackal. Why do you only sniff?" And the jackal said, "Oh my lord, you are all knowing." He began to speak. Krishna gave him the power of speech. "What shall I say? You know what you are asking, but because you are asking, I will answer. I also have some discrimination. I also have some dignity." Krishna said, "You have some discrimination? What you eat? What is your discrimination?" "I will never eat impure food. I first smell my food. By smelling his legs, I can understand if he has ever made a pilgrimage to holy places." Arjuna. "By smelling his ears, I can smell if he has ever listened to the Krishna Katha. By smelling his feet, I can see if he has danced in Sankirtan, like Advaita Singha yesterday danced very jubilantly. And we all joined him, he was our dance instructor. So in this way I'm smelling his eyes, if he has seen the deity, I smell his head, if he has bowed down to a sadhu, or if he's bright. And if he has not done this, I do not wish to eat. Krishna smiled and he said to the jackal, "Hey Jamukha, you are my true devotee. You are my bhakta, bhaktosimi, sakasimi." He looked at Arjuna smiling, and Arjuna understood, oh, my Lord wants to show me to not make so much judgment, to not make so much discrimination. You never know. One very, very exalted Vaishnava once was asked about a devotee who had fallen from the path of devotional service. And he said, "Don't criticize him. You do not know how much he has cried to Krishna in secret, asking his forgiveness. You do not know." So when Indra marched towards the battlefield, the sages had blessed him. The three birds were full of pleasure. The denizens of heaven danced. In the past, all the weapons had been ineffective against Vritasura and his hordes of asuras. But now there was the effulgent Vajra, the thunderbolt in Indra's hand. When Indra stopped, he looked over and he saw all the demons are standing in one row. There was demons. One name of the demon was, whenever he catches someone, he never lets go of him again. He will finish him. They were very, very, very powerful. The asuras waited for the devatas, and then there was a secret command. It was like this, and then they brought all their weapons out, and they came and assembled in the sky, and they all, like a dark cloud, came down on the devatas. But the devatas saw them coming, and while the weapons were still in the air, they cut them up into pieces. Then the devatas attacked with their showers of weapons. They were so strong because they were enthusiastic and they knew victory was possible now, that they shattered the demons into different pieces and they ran away from the battlefield. The demons ran showing their backs to the demigods, and the demigods then attacked. At this moment, they saw from the bank with a flaming head and eyes staring like fires, the powerful Vritta raising, and he said, "Stop!" He said to the demons, "Why do you run away?" The demon said, "We don't want to die here on this battlefield. The devatas are stronger this time." Vritta said, "Never run away from the battlefield. You will anyways die." The demon said, "But not now. We don't want to die." Then they ran away. The Vritta turned to the demigods and he said, "Where are your principles? These are like children. They run away. Why do you attack them from the back? This is not Kshatriya. This is too much." And then he made one big noise. Ah! And the demigods fell on the ground. It was so loud. Wah! And then the Vritta began to attack. He trampled all the demigods. But he was careful. He did not kill anyone. He was more like an elephant who tramples on bamboo and let the bamboo stay. Something was in the mind of this demon. The demigods were trampled, but not killed. And then Vritta went right to Indra. I'm really getting a little bit sidetracked. I'm jumping over many things because I want to come to the essence. So can I just ask you to do a little kirta, because I got lost in my kata. Let us just sing for 1 second. I want to tell it as it is.
Oh,
When Vritasura saw that the devatas had attacked from the back his asuric hordes, he had criticized them, and then he had attacked. He was walking with steps where one step was 1 mile long, the Bhagavatam says. He must be huge towards Indra. And he said, Indra, now I'm standing before you. What will you do? And Indra, he only had up till now used his Shakti weapon. He had the Vajra, the ultimate weapon, which was given to him by Lord Narayan, you know, the Dadichi weapon, and Narayan had given. But he had more strength, more faith really in his own strengths. He knew a Shakti weapon and he didn't know the Vajra weapon. So he took the Shakti weapon, which is the very heavy weapon, and threw it as Vritasura. But when Vritasura saw the weapon coming, he just turned around, he grabbed it in the hand, he wheeled it around, and then threw it at Indra. And it hit the elephant Airavata on the head and threw Airavata, the war elephant of Indra, a long distance in the back, and Indra fell from the elephant and fell on the ground and was lying on the ground. All the rishis and devatas had never seen such a thing. Imagine in a conflict, an armed conflict, one person throws a knife at the other person, and the other one turns around, grabs the knife and throws it back. That's something, you know. Or if a bullet is shot, like this, these are heavy weapons, and the person who is shot at is catching the bullet, turns around and throws it back. All the demigods had to shout, Veera, Veera, you are the hero. Here, they had to applaud. This is too much. He's very good. Then they noticed, my God, Indra is in danger. We should not shout. We are on the wrong side now. They said, alas, alas, alas. And Vritasura, he did not want to kill Indra. He said, so what are you going to do now? Indra just wanted to go away from the battlefield and sleep. This had never happened before. But Vritasura gave him time to consider his next step. So Indra, will you not care for your elephant? Said Vritasura. So Indra got up and put his hand, the shower's nectar, on the open wound of Airavata, who was kicking with his legs in pain, and he closed the wound, and then he stood there. And Vritta said, are you not using the weapon of the Lord? As though you cannot always be victorious, Indra. Sometimes you fail.
But victory and defeat is not in your hands. It's in the hands of the Lord. So use what the Lord has told you. Don't depend on your own little strings. I thought you were a demon. You talk like a great devotee. Vita said, think about it. This battlefield is like a chessboard. Where are the figures? A move. We are not the movers. We are the moved. And it is the Lord and His plan who moves all of us. Use your Vraja. I wish to go to the Lord. I'm tired of this body. In this demon body, I cannot do first class bhajan. And I said, you are a great devotee. Vrita didn't say anything. He said, act, don't talk. And in her thought, I will not act. I cannot kill a devotee. I'm so offensive. This is a devotee. In the body of a demon. Then Vrita looked at him and shook his head, almost like saying, you're useless. And he turned directly to his Lord and he began to chant four verses. These four verses express the essence of Krishna consciousness. Vrita, the most unlikely person to say these verses, said them in the midst of the battlefield. My dear devotees, when you listen now to these verses, your understanding of right and wrong and your readiness to judge others and often misjudge them will go away. You will experience these verses as therapeutic in your Krishna consciousness. I have the experience of one of these verses in the Himalayas. I chanted it when I was in great danger and it worked wonder. Can I please tell you the first verse?
Yes, please.
They are very moving. It's all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Amaritava Parayikamula Dasanudaso Pavitasmi Bhuya Manas Maritasu Pate Gunamste Grinita Vakama Karotikaya.
Vitasura now turns directly to the Lord. He wants to go back to Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj hears this katha and he's starting to doubt everything. It's so rare to develop pure devotion for the Lord. How is it that Vrita, who looks and acts like a demon, is one of the greatest devotees? Now this verse gives you an insight into Vrita's heart. He says, O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I have one question to you. Will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? Will I join you again? O Lord of my life, may I become the servant of your devotees so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attitudes.
my words always glorify you, and my body always engaged in the loving service of your Lordship. A little, you know, if you want to understand a devotee, you must know whom does he worship. And he worships the Lord as Hari. He says, Aham Hari, Hari, like Hare Krishna, as Hari. Hari means what? He who takes away, he's the thief. He takes away, in the beginning, he takes away the bad karma. He takes away the heart of the devotee. And finally, Krishna takes everything. That is his mercy for action. So, you might ask, how can this person turn to the Lord and say, when will I again be your servant of your... was he already the servant? Listen very carefully. In his previous life, this great rätselhaft, enigmatic personality was a great devotee called Maharaj Chitraketu. There's a lot to be talked about, but we don't have so much time any longer. As Chitraketu, he was actually serving Lord Sankarshan, one of the manifestations of the Lord in this universe. So once it so happened that he was on a vimana doing sankirtan. He was surrounded by good musicians, apsaras, and he was on the way to the Bhagavatam Katha by Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva sits in this world under a banyan tree at Mount Kailash. Ooh. And he sits there and talks to the most exalted saints and rishis the confidential secrets of the Bhagavata. So Maharaj Chitraketu wanted to sit in this Bhagavad Katha, in this discussion. And as he came closer, surrounded with the apsaras, who were singing the names of the Lord, he saw the banyan tree, and he willed his vimana to come closer. These airplanes, they walk not by steering wheels, but by mind control. He willed it to fly in this direction. And there he saw a most extraordinary scene. He saw Lord Shiva talking to the assembly of great souls about the Bhagavatam. But Lord Shiva was not alone. On his lap sat the most beautiful woman of the universe, Parvati. And they sat in a very relaxed way and in a very close way. Chitraketu was a pure devotee. He was a good friend of Parvati, Lord Shiva. And in a friendly manner, like one friend laughs at the other friend, you may say to the friend, oh, you are today very beautiful. You know, although the friend has just eaten pizza and the tomato, to the friend you may laugh and say, you look very beautiful, you look very nice with the reddish decoration. And it's a joke, it's nice, it's amongst friends, it's all right. You won't say this to the president of a country. Then it would mean you eat like a pig, you know. But to a friend, it is nice in the context. So he said like this. And he said, oh, Lord Shiva, you're giving a very nice example, giving a lecture and having your wife on the lap is a very useful example, and laughed. Now, Parvati took it not as a joke amongst friends. Parvati first became bashful. Oh, he's criticizing that I sit with my husband so closely. and then her womanly rage. And Pushpalavati said, you are so elevated that you needed to come to correct the greatest of all personalities of the Lord Shiva. And you think most properly that all these rishis who are listening very attentively to the Bhagavatam have either not seen it or that they don't know what is the proper etiquette, so needed you to come here? You fool. You need a good lesson. Become a demon. Curse was spoken. Then Parvati started to speak. Shiva went, it's alright, Parvati. This is just a joke amongst friends. And she came closer. You are necessary to correct Lord Shiva. It's alright. We're friends. You fool, Parvati, stop. Become a demon. Shiva couldn't do anything. His wife was very temperamental. She said, I'm very sorry that this happened. But Chintaketu took the curse in a fold, with folded hands. He could have said something and he could have defended himself, he could have clarified himself, but he accepted it as the arrangement of the Lord. And as a result, Lord Shiva broke out. He stopped his kata and he said, just see the devotees of the Lord. They are not afraid even to go to hell because they have the Lord in their heart. This is the greatest pleasure for them. Oh, I'm very impressed by this Chintaketu. So this is how Vritasura became a great, great demon. But he never forgot. Because once a devotee, one always remembers, there's a verse to this effect in the Bhagavatam, that the pleasure of being a devotee, of devotional life, can never be forgotten. Even if it happens that a devotee comes in adverse situations. No? He will be quickly corrected and come back to the true path. This is how powerful true bhakti is. It's very powerful. It cannot be destroyed by time, like everything else in this world is destroyed. And therefore, Vritasura here says, oh my Lord, when will I again be the servant of your servants? Yeah. And there is a verse. Does any one of you have the little devil with them? Mobile telephone. Anyone has? Will you have? Can you find this verse, Jayagopal? 6:11:24. I will read you a little from the purport of Prabhupada because it's really enlightening. Thank you. This verse, Prabhupada says, gives the sum and substance of devotional life. Sum and substance of devotional life. One must first become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, and he also showed by his own example, that a living entity should always desire to be a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. This means, in practical terms, one must accept a spiritual master who comes in the disciplic succession and is a servant of the Lord. And then Prabhupada continues. I really encourage you, read this in your private reading time. It's really eye-opening. You find it in the Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 11th chapter, text 24. It's the first of four verses which give you entrance into what is the meaning of true bhakti. It's so important, my dear devotees, this pastime, because it shows that the Lord will never give up his devotee. Even though the devotee may be cursed or may do things or which are not becoming, the Lord is with the devotee. That also means everyone, from whatever position they come, have the chance to engage in devotional service. Therefore, this is taught on the battlefield. It couldn't be more dramatic. I couldn't tell you the drama, but it's a life or death situation. And some more secrets will be brought out, but I will do so. I will try to do so tomorrow when we have the last part of my seminar. And we will hear about how this great personality, Ritasura, went back home, back to Godhead. He will chant one verse which is so important that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this verse gives you entrance into how you should chant the holy names with feelings. This is a great, great lesson which will come upon us. We will now remember this. We will do a short kirtan for only 5 minutes. No, even better. Please let us now find a neighbor. I turn to a neighbor and discuss with your neighbor strictly on the katha, what you have understood from this amazing example of Ritasura. Please do this, because remember, we should reflect. Remember, we should hear, then we must reflect. And then maybe discuss with your neighbor how you could maybe apply some of the lessons in your life. Who has not yet found a neighbor? Everyone. Start now. How do you like the mountains?
Mountains, you like Krishna? These mountains are
Himalaya.
Yeah. It's a branch of
Himalaya.
Okay.
Yes, yes. I will translate what you said. Actually, no, you all understand, but maybe I Prabhupada said the Alps are the branch of the Himalayas. Yes, yes, I also remember like this. Thank you for helping us to see Krishna in the sweet smile.
I'm getting
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So I think we have come to the end now. But because we have learned, we must honor the Vaishnavas. Let us maybe put a chair here and finish. It is just now finished. But you may say two words to the devotees to greet them. Two words you may they say. So Hare Krishna, just let us practice Bhagavatam culture. Let us honor the great devotees.
Two sentences. Ajit. They need to. Ajit, yeah.
I think this.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. It's very nice to see so many Vaishnavas gathered together with joining with our Maharaj, Swachinandan Maharaj. And I know Swachinandan Maharaj told that we should do Kirtan. And I was listening. It's so nice and sweet. Prabhupada said it reminds me one place, and that we have so many meetings and dissolution and they turn no solution and revolution. Better you get together and pray to the Lord and to Kirtan, could you solve all your problems? Yes, simple as this. You simply have to have faith. I heard Prabhupada has so much faith in chanting of the holy name. He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Param Vijayate, Param being supreme. It will conquer everything. It will solve all problems. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Jai Sakal Bipad, Bhaktivinoda, Balin Jakun Unangai, Radha Krishna Balam, Sangha Chal. Always associated with devotee, that will protect us from danger of attraction of Maya. Just like Mark said, how you find this, and definitely is beautiful, no doubt. But Krishna is not most beautiful, that is why it is beautiful. We should see it this way. Otherwise, maybe subtle. We are enjoying. So, it's very nice to come here, to be with so many Vaishnava gathering together, to associate with ISKCON's leader, and enrich our bhakti. Tadati kutubinati, bhunte bhajate. This is the way of associating with Krishna or any devotee. Dadati to the dina, give something and exchange and share what you learn. Bhunte bhajate, eat together, share. Ujjam akshati prichati, ask what you learn and you don't understand. This is the symptom of pure devotee, as Krishna said. Machitta Madgata Prana, always thinking of Krishna. Madgata Prana, life dedicated in the propagation of Krishna consciousness, bringing others to the lotus feet of Gaumitai. Machitta Bodhyamata Prasparam, this is your Bodhyamata Prasparam. Maharaj is telling you so many things and you may be asking questions. I think that is Bodhyamata, enlightening each other. Kathayamata Stamam Nittam, 24 hours. They talk only about Krishna and Krishna only. Krishna means always his devotee and those are Krishna. Krishna means that he is dear to Krishna, Krishna's devotee, Krishna's pastime, Krishna's place of pastime, Vrindavan. Where is Vrindavan? Where is Krishna? There is Vrindavan. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna Katha? There is Krishna. That is Vrindavan. One is 24 hours engaged in pure devotional service. He is in Vrindavan. Others go to Vrindavan, maybe for other motives, sense gratification. Then we cannot realize Vrindavan. Our Narottam Das Thakur says, বিষয় ছাড়িয়া কবে শুদ্ধ হবে মন হোয়ার হার্ট দ্যাট ইস কৃষ্ণ ইজ দেয়ার দ্যাট ইস বৃন্দাবন হোয়ার ইজ গভর্ন উইথ সো মেনি মেটেরিয়াল ডিজায়ার হোয়ার মেটেরিয়াল ডিজায়ার উইল গিভ আপ হোয়ার ইউ গিভ আপ আওয়ার ফলস ইগো দেন পিওর ডিভোশনাল সার্ভিস ইজ স্টার্ট অ্যান্ড উই ক্যান সি বৃন্দাবন থ্যাংক ইউ ভেরি মাচ
থ্যাংক ইউ
A few words from you have given so much happiness to us. Thank you.
I'm simply a big talker, a big mouth, repeating what Prabhupada said and trying to practice. Please pray for me so that I can practice what Prabhupada says.
We will have the association of our Maharaj for the remaining days of our retreat. We will also speak and present. We will now offer him play a room, and we will also offer you some meal from our heart. Please accept. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Gopal, see you very soon again. Hare Gopal.